going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
There's obviously a lot of stuff going on. We are also waiting on Lou Esposito, Michigan defensive line coach, calling hopefully within the next few minutes here. But it is interesting. I understand. Listen, so much, and you and I have talked about this a lot, so much of the Mason Graham stuff, to me, any of these prospects, it was about normalizing the idea of them. So I certainly wasn't upset at how the reaction was for Mason Graham last night. I just don't think, I mean, especially in the media, you could tell a lot of people hadn't done their homework on Mason Graham because the mark on that kid was so off what I think it's going to be in the NFL.
Oh, you mean from like his actual talent standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, people thought...
All I ever heard was good things about Mason Graham.
People think he's just a run stopper. It's like, did you watch Michigan?
Did you hear Ken today?
No, what'd he say?
Ken said he thinks he's going to get 2 sacks a year.
Wow, okay.
It felt like online last night you begged to differ there.
Yeah. Yeah, no. He got more than 2 sacks a year at Michigan, so
I don't think Ken meant it as an insult.
I don't want to go up against LeCan.
You just said 2 sacks. Well, yeah, the LeBron James of Sports Talk Radio. It is heavy wears the crown. I don't find anybody saying anything outside of Brian Baldinger, anything negative about Mason Graham. The sad part is it's not about Mason Graham. Last night wasn't about Mason Graham in many ways.
I got to be honest with you. I really wonder whether Ken or anybody else with any of these takes actually watched Michigan this last year or watched them the year before. I know everybody saw Ohio State get their ass kicked by Michigan 2 straight years.
We know he had the big 7-tackle game against Ohio State. He had the big play against Alabama a couple years ago that basically, in the college football playoff, that basically sealed the game. Like he's had a couple really standout moments that I think pop into everyone's brain. But I also think just a lot of people aren't defensive line experts, too.
That's fair.
Like, you care about defensive line. You're very good at the defensive line. I just think a lot of people aren't... They're just not the greatest at it. Very hard thing to be great at.
So I think Mason in different systems can be different things. I kind of feel about Michigan's front, the way they kind of run the front out there at Michigan defensively, the way they do at Ohio State. Like, at Ohio State, I think Tylaik Williams... I think the defensive tackles have been held back a little bit by the system that Jim Knowles ran. And a lot of that was just what they were asked to do. I don't think it was see ball, get ball. I think Mason Graham is going to be given a golden opportunity across from Miles. And it's not just about sacks. It's about your ability to generate pressures. Mason Graham's pressure numbers at Michigan were through the roof. And so you add Mason Graham next to Miles Garrett, and that is a tandem that can generate a lot of pressure. And the one thing... What's the one thing we know about Myles Garrett? Myles is prone to over-pursue.
Yeah.
He's not the worst down in the NFL. Sometimes people talk about that. There's a lot of undersized guys that are super fast that over-pursue more than Myles. But Myles does. If Mason Graham is who he was at Michigan, here at Ohio State, guys, he's going to be Myles Garrett's best friend. Because he is going to push the quarterback back into the pocket, which means it's going to be really hard for Miles to over-pursue.
Well, and I know you're a big scheme guy, and the scheme at Michigan is just a little weird, and I think that's why a lot of people believe with the wide nine, it's only going to be better.
Oh, and that's another great thing. Like, I'm not gonna lie to you and say that Mason Graham has as good a first step as Michael Hall, who they drafted last year out of Ohio State in the second round, right? No. Michael Hall has a freakish first step. He's got a first burst that is akin to a defensive end, but he's got it up the middle. Mason Graham is a really, really good burst. And there were two guys in college that out of this draft, and listen, Walter Nolan gets all the hype. I saw the Carter comparisons last night. I'm much more worried about Walter Nolan coming into the NFL than it was Jalen Carter. Like, there's some real concerns about Walter Nolan could have been a top 10 pick. He wasn't for a very valid reason.
Yeah, I mean, everything I kept seeing was how he's not Jalen Carter.
But this is a good defensive tackle class, but there are two guys who didn't get the chance to sack the quarterback as much in college as I think they will in the pros. And it reminds me of, like, a Chris Jones. You know, it reminds me of a guy who was like, well, okay, that's just not your function here in this defense. That's Chris Jones when he was at Mississippi State. You might know him now in Kansas City. That was a very dismissive way of talking about it. But
You were in the defensive line zone.
It was. It's Mason Graham and it's Tyleek Williams.
You get such a few opportunities to actually talk defensive line and inside defensive line guys. Figured just in the zone. The comp last night kept being Christian Wilkins. And if that is who he ends up being, I think a lot of Browns fans will, in fact, be disappointed.
Well, which Christian Wilkins? The guy that was like a Pro Bowler a couple years ago, or the guy that's disappeared since getting paid?
I think a lot of people think about the guy that's disappeared since getting paid. I think that's the guy that didn't make it to a second contract with the team.
Because that won't
that
be
he got drafted by.
Okay, Christian Wilkins had a little bit of Walter Nolan to him. If we're talking about the person, Christian should have been a top 10 pick, wasn't. And that's poor fruit in Miami.
You do see, though, how it definitely had the, instead of Shedeur Sanders being comped to Joe Burrow, it was Shedeur Sanders being comped to Geno Smith. It had that type of effect for a lot of people last night.
And I absolutely, totally understand. And listen, it's a hard sell. It just is. It's an impossible sell of, hey, we're going to get a potential generational player, because that was thrown out there. A unicorn. All the different... and it wasn't anything. It was just branding. Otani. It was just branding. Yeah, it had nothing to do with reality.
You're right, though. But this is way more about Travis Hunter than it is about Mason Graham.
But here's the thing. Mason Graham's a damn good football player, and the Browns don't just need one superstar. The Browns need a lot of damn good football players, guys who can make it the second contract and be impactful players across a period of time, and they don't have a lot of guys like that on the defensive line beyond Miles.
I get it, but you also, I think you can agree that when the fan base gets mad last night, they're doing it with the idea that you went defense at number 5 overall on top of it. We know he's the best player available. We know that because we've been studying this, we've been doing this day in, day out for 4 months, but I think a lot of people that are like, hey, I watched this team week in, week out last year, and they were dead last in scoring, and they added to the defense again.
So
I get why it gets upsetting for fans.
But here's the thing that I like about Mason Graham. This is something that I don't know if you know on tape. It's the character. Like, Andrew Berry has taken some character risks, and I hate where the Browns culture was last year. And that's not, listen, there are a lot of good dudes in that room. Right, look at the offensive line. Plenty of good dudes. Across the ball, you can find good dudes everywhere. But you need dudes who are dudes. That was not the best phrasing. You need guys who are leaders. You need guys who have the high motor. You don't have enough high motor ass kickers on the defensive side of the ball. You don't have enough every down players on the defensive side of the ball. Mason Graham, you're never going to doubt his work. You're never going to doubt his character. You're never going to doubt what he's going to bring to the table. You add that to a guy, and get this high floor crap out of here. He's a high ceiling player. He absolutely can be a, I don't know, double digit, because everybody wants, now you have to be Aaron Donald. But if he's a 5 to 10 sack a year guy, on top of being a dominant run defender, on top of being a high character guy, oh, and by the way, next year you go get the quarterback. This will be one of the best trades you've ever made. This will be the anti-Phil Taylor for Julio Jones trade.
Right, but there's delayed gratification attached to all that, and that's where I just think the fans were.
But Mason can be that guy this year. Mason can be a good player immediately walking into the NFL.
Yeah, you attach the quarterback to that. That's kind of what I was getting at there.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Yeah. I think, I mean, again, people will be excited when they see him out there. It's just, I think when people thought skill position player, they thought Travis Hunter. It's just a night and day expectation. You were expecting one thing. You got something that was different. It just took a little bit for people to process. It's not Mason Graham. It's not your fault in this. I've been telling
you.
It is not
full guilt, Goodwill Hunting.
Because it's true, though. I almost feel bad for him. Like, I really do. I almost feel bad because usually you get drafted fifth overall to a team and people just shower and they praise you with a bunch of love and they just tell you how great you are. And like you just did a great breakdown. You spent 5 minutes talking about all the qualities that Mason Graham has. And I'm telling you, people don't care right now. People are still just in their Cheerios sobbing over what they could have had with Travis Hunter.
I desperately want Mason Graham to have better stats at the end of this year than Travis Hunter. Okay.
How do you even judge that? Is it like, does he have to make an all pro and then Travis Hunter just stinks up the place?
If Mason Graham has more than 5 sacks, and so I guess this is more expectations.
Okay.
I want Mason Graham to exceed expectations in Cleveland, and then I want Travis Hunter to just be a little underwhelming.
That's the other side of this, though. Like, I don't need to throw down Travis Hunter in this equation. Well, no, he didn't do anything. It wasn't his choice.
Did you hear how they talked about Marvin Harrison Jr. last night? Disappointing rookie year, just a step back. It's like he almost had 1,000 yards.
Yeah, he almost had 1,000 yards, yeah.
It wasn't greatest wide receiver ever.
It wasn't
Malik Nabers. It wasn't the greatest wide receiver ever. It's still a good rookie year.
Yeah.
That's the way that it'll be interesting. I don't necessarily want that because you're right. I don't want to root against a kid. He seems like a good kid. But that's the way it'd be really interesting to see if that's the narrative
trade,
on Travis.
The trade won't be won by Mason Graham. The trade will be won by what happens in 2026.
But the trade, here's the thing. The trade can also be lost by Travis Hunter. If Travis Hunter is a average
Not necessarily, because if you end up in 2026, if you use that pick and that ends up being your franchise quarterback and he's great, then that's not, I don't think that's
so
dictated
on
by
that.
Travis Hunter.
If Mason Graham and that, whatever that first
pick. And by
pick,
the way, pick 36 or whatever that is too gets thrown in the mix as well.
But specific to the Travis Hunter thing.
Yeah.
If Travis Hunter doesn't become Julio Jones or if he doesn't become a two-way player, this also, the pressure is going to be all the way off on this as well. Like, it's not just about the Browns to not screw this up. Travis Hunter has to fulfill his obligations as well.
Yeah, there's a lot to this. It kind of feels like when the Bengals took Ja'Marr Chase instead of taking the lineman who went to Detroit, Penei Sewell, and Sewell went on to have a great career. It's having a great career, but it's like it doesn't matter that both are having a great career. Ja'Marr Chase he's everything you need and then some. Like if the picks turn into a bunch of great players for the Browns, Travis Hunter can have a Hall of Fame career. Won't matter.
Doc on Twitter saying, does the Browns drafting a Mason Graham tell us something about the injury progress of Mike Hall? No. No, I mean, listen.
Oh, just a great player. You took a great player.
I think the fact that, like, I think Malik Collins, is on a 1-year deal. Shelby Harris, I think, has 1 year left in his deal. The Browns have one guy who might be a starter in the future. It's Mike Hall Jr. That you can't base that. You can't assume that based off his rookie year. And it's not like Juwan Briggs. Yeah, like he's a 7th-round pick last year, so you can't bank on that one either. Yeah. I think the Browns recognized one of the flaws in the way they're built is they've been piecemealing the defensive line production.
Well, they've just been throwing money at it is really the big thing.
I mean, and it's 1-year deals. It's
1-year deals. Zadarius Smith.
You know, Zadarius. That's Dalvin was a 3-year deal. The way it was kind of drawn up, it was a 2-year deal.
But like, yeah, going back to even Olivier Vernon, it's always just kind of been, let's just throw money in the offseason to somebody that gets us near double-digit sacks at the previous team, and then they come on over, and then we go from there. And it's just, I think they're just tired of that. I think they're done with that.
I'm going to say Lou Esposito is not going to make it in this segment there. We'll see if we can track him down.
Good call by you.
Listen, they don't call me Nikki deduces things for nothing, okay?
Yeah.
It's a work in progress. If you had an issue with the Browns first round last night, is it more about trading down, or is it more about Mason Graham? Adam, Nate, Tom, you guys stick there. More on the Browns draft approach and moving forward coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Hey.